south of the Brandenburg Gate in Germany, you will find a memorial to the Jews who were killed in the Holocaust. It's an unusual memorial. There are something like 2,700 coffin-like grey concrete slabs arrayed orderly across 4.7 acres in neat rows with alleyways that you can walk in between. If it were not for one single text on this memorial, you would wonder what it was all about. The text says this is a memorial to the murdered Jews of Europe, and that's it. A casual passerby, had he not seen that text, may well be forgiven for being confused as to what was the meaning of it all. And people have noted concern about this, because it fails to mention, even the text itself, who actually murdered these people, the Jews, when they were killed, or when. There's not even a single name to be found upon this memorial of 4.7 acres with 2,700 monoliths of sorts. A very bizarre statement, perhaps. Will people forget what it means if a memorial is not clear? Will they mistake why people were killed as they were in World War II under Nazi Germany? The same question might be asked of something that happened even long ago in history, 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, there was a text put upon a cross. If we look at the passage that Linda read, we're going to focus on just one aspect, one text, and that is the testimony given above the head of the cross, written by Pontius Pilate, where he said, he wrote these words, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Here was a man identified as who? Jesus of Nazareth. Passers-by would read this sign as he was hung upon that cross. The plaque itself didn't say who killed him, although it was evident because soldiers were around, Roman soldiers. So people would have known the process involved, how he was brought to trial, people would have heard of. They would have known the time, obviously, of his crucifixion, for they themselves were there, these passers-by, whoever they may have been. But one thing they may not have known was why he was put upon that cross. Oh, they may have read the title and thought this man was put there because he was accused and tried and convicted for challenging possibly the authority of Caesar as a rival king. But was that why he was put upon the cross? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. How do we answer why he was put upon the cross? Well, let's look first of all at the term Jesus of Nazareth. In the Gospel of John, in the early account in chapter 1 of Jesus' ministry, you'll see people meeting with Jesus as he begins his public teaching. And disciples come to him. And in the course of that, a man called Philip heard of Jesus, met with him, was struck by him. And as is the case with people who are disciples, they hear of Jesus and want to tell others. So that's what he does. He goes to Nathanael. And he says to Nathanael, "I've met someone extraordinary." Because he says it in this way. He says, "I've met someone through whom the Old Testament law and prophets point to." He identifies Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, that's not so extraordinary. In the culture of their day, people were often identified by where they lived, by what their fathers did, perhaps, their profession. And that's true in many cultures today as well. Jesus of Nazareth. How did Nathanael reply to that? He said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" You see, Nazareth seemed a very unimpressive place. And to be called the son of a carpenter didn't seem to be a particularly remarkable title to own. No disrespect to carpenters, but you wouldn't imagine that being the profession of someone whom was to be acclaimed with greatness and honor and title. And born in a very humble town, a frontier town, not in the center of life, not in the hub of things, on the fringes. My Hare and I lived in a frontier town in Mongolia, and people thought of it as a place that had a reputation for hard people, a hard climate. But there were no prospects out there. And yet Jesus had lived 30 years of his life in this town. That's quite a considerable time, regardless of how long you imagine people would normally have lived in those days, 30 years. He was identified with that place, an ordinary place, Jesus of Nazareth. You see, on the face of things, that title, Jesus of Nazareth, is very unremarkable. Even Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 6 that a prophet is held without honor in his own town. And the prophecies from the Old Testament that point to the coming king, a great king, a savior, remark, like in passages familiar to us, Isaiah 53, that he had no form or majesty that we should look at him. There was nothing particularly obvious about him in his appearance, in his place of birth, in his hometown, that immediately would strike us to think that this person was great. Humble origins. The bottom line is, Jesus of Nazareth reminds us that in many ways, he was like you and I. He was a man who can identify with you and I. And that's what the first thing I want us to remember. Jesus Christ is a man. He is a man who hung upon that cross. And he was given a title, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He was given that title by Pilate. He wasn't given that title because Pilate had somehow had a revelation from God that this was the great king, the promised one. It seems from the reading of the Gospels that Pilate had bruised wounds because he was forced to put Jesus to execution, knowing that he was an innocent man, knowing that he had been conspired against. And what hurt him, bruised him, was his own pride, that he was powerless to stop it. Here was this official representing the Roman authorities, and yet he was powerless, to, out of fear for the crowd, to stop this happening. And he was angry, and he mocked those Jewish leaders who had falsified a trial and brought these circumstances out to where Jesus was now hanging on a cross. The phrase, King of the Jews, was Pilate's way of really mocking those religious leaders. They said with their own mouths that we have Caesar as our king. even though they knew in their hearts, and Pilate was aware that was a complete lie. They did not recognize Caesar if they had the choice. Jesus of Nazareth, an ordinary title, an ordinary man, given the title King of the Jews. What does it mean? How was he represented? How was he thought of by the people there? He would have been mocked, wouldn't he? He would have been seen as, by some, a poor unfortunate that had got caught up and misunderstood in events. Why was he there? Was he there through a series of accidents, unfortunate mishaps, misunderstandings? People misunderstanding his claims? Pilate knew he was no political rebel in that sense that the Jews accused him of, the religious leaders pointed and tried him for. Why was he there? Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Well, I would say this. The title King of the Jews was on the lips of a foreigner, but a true Israelite would not have phrased it that way. We know this if we go back to the testimony of Jesus meeting with Nathanael and Philip. Nathanael sees Jesus and he says these words. He says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." The Son of God, the King of Israel. He recognized, better than he understood at the time, no doubt, that Jesus was the King of Israel. And the Old Testament that pointed to him, which Philip remarked, have passages that point and speak clearly that he, the promised king, would do great things. It says in Isaiah 49, "Is it too light a thing that you should be my servant?" Speaking of this promised one who would come. To raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. This national hope was invested in the King of Israel. Was Jesus just a king for Israel? Or was he more? Did the scriptures that I've just quoted end there? Why was he hung upon that cross? Who was he? Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Well, the title, the King of Israel that Nathanael confessed, also ran together with the confession, he is the Son of God. You see, the passage in Isaiah also goes on in Isaiah 49 to say, "I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." When Nathanael spoke, he spoke both of a king whose national hopes were vested in, who would restore Israel, but he was also greater than just a king of one nation. He was the king of the whole earth, the king of you and I. Who was it then who hung upon that cross and why? He, God himself, is the claim, hung upon that cross. Nathanael said, "You are the Son of God, the King of Israel." The Son of God hung upon that cross. Why? He did so that you and I might be saved. For that passage in Isaiah goes on to say, "Thus the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to the one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers, He shall be the king. Kings shall see him and rise. Princes shall bow down before him. Because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel has chosen you. He was the Son of God, hung upon that cross, bringing to himself, through that suffering and agony, a price, a ransom, whereby you and I, and everyone in this world who trusts in him, can be forgiven, can be set free, can know what it is to have our lives centered on what we were created for, to center our lives upon him. Jesus of Nazareth was a title that may have been misunderstood. The King of Kings. Was he an ordinary man? Was he just a rebel for one time in history to be forgotten? No. Because the true understanding of the cross is that he, the Son of God, the creator of you and I, we who are made in his image, he hung upon that cross that you and I might be forgiven, that you and I might have a hope for eternity. The language of the New Testament writers, the Apostle Paul, that we would have eternal hope. An event that happened 2,000 years ago, but we need to remember today what it meant. And in every generation, we need to be proclaiming what it meant. Why he hung upon that cross, that you and I might have life to its fullness, that we would honor him. Though the world doesn't honor him, the world mocked him upon that cross, the world despised him, the world misunderstood him. Are you in that place this morning? Or do you see, like Nathanael's confession, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the King of Israel, meaning that he is the Savior of the whole world. He is the creator of heaven and earth. Only he is fit, out of his infinite gift and ransom on the cross, to bring us to a place where we are accepted before him, accepted before God, set free to love him, set free to worship him. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, has he become your Savior? Has he become your life, your light, your hope? If we are believers this morning, the answer to that must be amen. It must be yes. Do we know him?